Nyagana Gotra Goloruharam Goranga Guru Tamagopyada Kopa Briksham Gopala Gada Ratidam Yati Singha Gora Govinda Deshikavaram Satatam Namami Uttama Adama Kichu Nabachi the Jachi Adileka Kola Kahe Premananda Hemona Goranga Ridoya Dadiya Bola Bhaja Goranga Kaha Goranga Laha Gorangera Namare Bolo Bhaja Goranga. Jajana Goranga Bhaje Se Hoyamara Pranare Goranga Bhaje Se Hoyamara Pranare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Bolo, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Yashaiva Padambuja Bhakti Labhya Prema Bidana Parama Pumarta Tasmai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Madgavir Api Gopala Svikuryat kripaya jadi tadaiva sambhaya pitva rishi yustat priya janaha Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya sasanatana rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Brajabala Bapahimam Vancha Kolpaturubhischa Kripa Sindhubhyaivacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Giradha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I want to thank everybody here in Goloka Dham. Yeah, I don't, mic's not on for some reason. Hare Krishna, Gauranga Nityananda. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. See, I think it's on, it's just low. We have a festival that we observe sometimes. It's called the Viraha Utsav, or a festival of separation. And I kind of feel like that's what we're experiencing a little bit today. I've had the good fortune to get association with all the devotees here the last few days. And I've been very humbled by Satchinanda Maharaj's wonderful kathas and by the wonderful management, which is very in the background but very expertly done by Gaura Hari Prabhu and the other devotees, and Nadia Mani Mataji and Amala Harinam Prabhu's wonderful kirtans and other devotees. And I really feel like what's happened here is the devotees have all come together and our hearts have kind of become one. And I have a question, two questions for everybody here. First of all, did everybody like the festival okay?
Yes.
Just a little bit, huh? Did you like the festival? Or?
Yes.
Okay. Now, my other question is, how many of you would like it if the festival would never stop? So it's a very sad thing, especially for the devotees here in Goloka Dham. They work very hard, so hard. They're working hard every year, taking care of Shishi Radha Madan Mohan, and to provide facilities for so many guests to come, and they put up the decorations and everything. And I think probably either today or tomorrow comes another very sad part of the festival for them. Everybody's going to be gone. All the excitement's gone down. And they start taking the decorations down. Now, wouldn't it be nice if they never took the decorations down?
Yes.
But there's a reason. Because if we take the we leave the decorations up, then it means the festival never ends. That's nice. But then it means that that becomes kind of the status quo or the norm. And then it means that there won't be any feelings of separation. The word viraha, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is a combination of two words. V means vishesh, and raha means rahasya. Vishesh means a special kind of thing, and rahasya means something confidential. Viraha means separation, but the two words together mean a special, secret kind of meeting. And so there's a meeting as a kind of anticipation that we have when we take the decorations down. We feel very, very sad. And that's preparing us for the next festival. So this is also part of the program. And it's an important part of the program. Today I wanted to share with you a few thoughts from the end of a very amazing festival. One of the most amazing festivals in the history of the world. And that's when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip. It was a great festival, a festival of the eyes for all the devotees. When Mahaprabhu was there, growing up as Nimai Pandit, Satchinandan, the beloved son of Mother Sachi. And when he left, everyone's heart broke. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them a few instructions at that time. This is from Lochan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Mangal, from the Madhya Kanda, and he gives a song there describing that pastime and Mahaprabhu's instructions to the devotees at that time. I thought it was a relevant thing for all of us to meditate on at this time. So I'd like to sing these Bengali verses and you can chant Hare Krishna in response. Tumara takibe agyakoribe palan Nirantara dibe nishe korebe kirtan bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The first thing that he said to them was that the festival should not end. He said, Tomara takibe, just stay where you're at. Well, that means several things. Tomara takibe, he's telling him, don't follow me. You stay here. This is your place. Because then you're going to feel some separation from me. And there's a very sweet kind of union in that separation. Another meaning is just stay where you're at. As described in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, Stani stita shruti gatam tanavan manobir. You've gotten something. You've heard something. So just digest that. Don't go running around and forget about that. So it's the first thing that he told them. Tomara takibe, stay where you're at in your hearts. Collect what you've gotten and digest it. And agya koribe palana, You accept my command that agya, but kuribi palana. Palana means to nourish. In other words, you take my instruction, you take what you've gotten and nourish it. Nourish it with yourself. And then he told him, nirantara, meaning without stopping, nirantara diva nishi, day and night, nirantara divi nishi kuribe kirtan. Do kirtan without stopping. And then he describes in the next verse. Harinama bhakta seva kuribe stapan. A dharma kori jena tari sarva jan hey Hare Krishna Hare Krishna He tells him the same thing again just in case they didn't get it the first time. I don't know why it keeps playing. That's it. Okay. He says, do Harinam, chant Harinam. But he says, do Harinam in a little different way. He gives a little different stress. It's not just that he's repeating himself, because he already said, nirantara dibi nishi koribe kirtan, do kirtan day and night. And then he says, Harinam, but Harinam of bhakta seva. You do Harinam and you serve the bhaktas. Or another meaning is to serve the devotees, you do Harinam. And by doing Harinam, we're going to serve the devotees. We'll serve the devotees here in Goloka Dham by taking this kirtan and the feeling of this kirtan, because that's the essence of our kirtan, and taking it wherever we go. Bhakta Seva, Koribe Stapana. Koribe Stapana A Dharma. He tells him that you establish my movement, this Dharma. And how do you do that? Harinama Bhakta Seva. That's the two most important principles. As Jagadananda Pandit says, Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam E Matra Chai. All that I desire is Sadhu Sangha and Krishna Nam, because these two go together. You can't associate with the devotees unless you're doing kirtan. And if you associate with the devotees, you're going to end up doing kirtan. So that Harinam is the best service that we can do. For the last 30 years, I've been living in Jagannath Puri and taking devotees on parikrama. And I tell them that don't get the wrong idea that you're coming here to just have some fun or just to see places, but have the attitude that we're coming here to do dham seva. And what's the best dham seva that we can do is nam seva. Because the dham is slowly disappearing as liquor stores coming and even meat places and things, and people just going there to enjoy themselves. But if you go there and you do kirtan and you do Harinam, then it brings the atmosphere back. And by taking the atmosphere of this festival back to wherever you came from, then you're spreading, you're doing Dham Seva, you're establishing the Dham in so many different places. We're establishing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And he told him that Jaina Tori Sarva Jan, this instruction is for everyone. In other words, I'm not just telling us just for the devotees here in Navadvipa right now, Mahaprabhu said, but it's for everybody. And for all the devotees here in Goloka Dham right now. And then he gives his final instruction to them. Nirmatsara Antare Hoibe Sarva Jan. Sabbe sabakara man koro aradhan Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It also has its own spirit, you know. And we learn in the Kirtan Arnautam Das Thakur, before they would sing, they would first, the instruments would speak. They'd give them some chants. So this instrument doesn't want to stop speaking. What can we do? Mahaprabhu told them, Nirmatsara Antare, that very, very important. If you want to establish my movement, then you should have to, inside your hearts, you have to be Nirmatsara. Don't be envious. Don't allow envy to reside in your heart, because then how will Krishna Nam be there? Don't be envious at all this. Why are they letting this other person do kirtan? Why are they giving him more credit? Just be happy that we can be part of things. Nirman sara antaro hoi bi sarvajan. And sarvajan sabi sabakar man. He says, with all your hearts, you should worship each other. And koro aradana. You should serve each other. You should serve and worship each other. And if we do this, then we can keep this festival going, because this is a Vrindavan festival. And Vrindavan festival means a festival of service. And that's the greatest joy, when we can come and serve, as we've been speaking the last few days. Siddhir Bhavati Vaaneti Sangseyo Chuta Sevinam. The Varaha Purana, Adi Varaha Purana, describes that we're not really sure if the direct associates of the Lord are going to achieve perfection or not. It's a very startling statement. Siddhir Bhavati Vaaneti Sangseyo means a doubt. Sangseyo Chuta Sevinam. That those sevaks of the Lord Achyuta, the sevaks of Radha Madan Mohan, we're not really sure, Siddhir Bhavati, if they're going to get perfection. But Nisangsayo, there's no doubt. Nisangsayo Stutad Bhakta Paricharya Matapmanam. That those persons who serve the servants of the Lord, definitely they're going to achieve perfection. And I know that this is the beauty of this festival, that the devotees here in Goloka Dham, they've been thinking so much about how to serve all the devotees who are coming. And the pujaris are also thinking like that. We want to dress Radha Madan Mohan in such an enchanting way that something gets stolen from you when you leave, that your mind and heart just stay here forever and ever in Goloka Dham. That's their secret. And your bodies leave, but your mind and heart, you're just so astonished seeing Radha Madan Mohan. They want to dress them in that way to please the devotees. It's a festival of service. And loving Madan Mohan means that we should love the devotees. When Krishna went to Hastinapur on behalf of Maharaj Yudhishthira and the Pandavas to try to make some peace with Duryodhan, Duryodhan tried to convince him to come over to his side. And in the Mahabharata, there's a verse which is quoted by Jiva Goswami in his Priti Sandarbha, where Krishna replied, he told Duryodhan, Yastan dvesti samam dvesti yastananu samamanu. He said, Duryodhan, you don't understand something about me. He said, you hate my devotees. He said, but yastan dvesti samam dvesti. Anyone who hates my devotees, they hate me. And yastananu samamanu, anyone who follows my devotees, they're following me. Anyone who loves my devotees, they love me. So the way we can approach Madan Mohan, the way we can please Madan Mohan, is by serving and loving the devotees. And then what benediction do we get from that service to Madan Mohan? We get service and love for the devotees. It's a reciprocal kind of thing. That's the best benediction that we can pray for. Krishna tells Durvasa Muni in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam. He says, Aham Bhakta Paradino, Asvatantra Hivadvija, Sadhubir Grestaridayo, Bhaktar Bhakta Jana Priyaha. He says that you should know that the devotees are in my heart and I'm not independent. Those devotees are so very dear to me. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he commented about this. Such a beautiful meditation. He said that Krishna is the super soul in the heart of all living entities. But who is the super soul of the super soul? Who is in Krishna's heart? It's the devotees who are in Krishna's heart. So if we want to please Krishna, we have to please the devotees. This is the Vrindavan mood. Srila Prabhupada wrote in a letter to Tomal Krishna Maharaj in 1968. He said, your appreciation for the service of your God brothers is very much laudable. This is actually a devotee's business, that everyone should appreciate the value of other devotees. Nobody should criticize anyone, because everyone is engaged in the service of the Lord according to one's capacity. And the thing is, Krishna wants to see how much one is sincere in rendering him service. Materially, we may think that this person's service is greater than another's. That is our material vision. But actually, on the spiritual platform, the service rendered by a calf to Krishna and the service rendered by Radharani and her associates to Krishna, there's no difference. Krishna is so kind and liberal that everyone's service, when it is sincerely offered to Krishna, he accepts. This is a statement in the Bhagavad Gita that he accepts a little bit of flower, fruit, and water offered to him in devotion and love. Patram pushyam phalam toyam yome bhakti prayachati. Interesting thing about that verse, which Prabhupada's alluding to here, it appears also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, word for word. I think it's, to my right off the bat, I think it's the only verse from Bhagavad Gita which directly appears in the Bhagavatam. And it appears in the pastime when Sudama Vipra comes to see Krishna. And Krishna speaks this verse to pacify Sudama, who had this nasty old rice which is stuck under his armpit, which some commentators say was mixed with his sweat from his armpit as he was going to Dwarka. And that's what he has to offer to Krishna. It's not very palatable. But Krishna, to assure him, he speaks this verse, Patram Pushyam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakti Prayachati, that I want this love from my devotees, which they offer in some insignificant way sometimes. Now, it's an interesting thing. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written two commentaries, Saartha Darshani and Saartha Varshani. The Saartha Varshani commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. And he's commented on that verse in the Gita. When he comments on it in his Saartha Darshani commentary in the Bhagavatam, he says something completely different. And he says there that Patram Pushyam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakta Payachati, that it means that sometimes Krishna eats the flowers. Those things which are offered by the devotees are so very, very dear to Krishna that sometimes he can't control himself and he just eats those flowers which are offered to him by the devotees. So Prabhupada's saying here, Krishna accepts a little bit of flower, fruit, and water offered to him in devotion and love. He wants our love and devotion. Otherwise, he's a proprietor of everything. What can we give him? This position of our subordination should always be maintained, and we should always give respect to our pure devotees who are engaged in devotional service. That will make us able to make a progressive march in the devotional line. Now, it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada, many times he said things like, all my disciples are pure devotees. Well, sometimes if you know some of the older devotees, you may have a little doubt. How can Prabhupada... Maybe Prabhupada's just trying to flatter the devotees. But no, what Srila Prabhupada is saying is shastric. Because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, again, his commentary in the on Bhagavad Gita in chapter 9, when Krishna says, Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhaksadar eva samantavya samyagi vyasito hisaha. He speaks about a durachari sadhu. Durachar means someone whose achar is bad. They're not a very well-behaved person, but they're a sadhu. Sadhur eva samantavya, Krishna says very emphatically, you should give respect to them. Why? Because they're doing ananyata bhajan. They're doing one-pointed bhajan. Now, generally, when we think of one-pointed bhajan, we may think of a pure devotee. Nothing else comes into their mind but Krishna. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he's doing ananyata bhajan, but at the same time, he's a durachari. His behavior is not good. Well, how do we reconcile those two things? And he explains that he's durachar because he has some other attachments and things, but he's a sadhu because he's only taking shelter of Krishna Nam and Krishna Bhakti. He's not taking shelter of Deva Puja or Karma or Gyan or Yoga. He's just taking shelter of Krishna. And he may have material desires, but he's a sadhu because his point is one-pointed, and he's a pure devotee in that sense. So all those devotees, Srila Prabhupada said, all my disciples are pure devotees. And they are pure devotees. At least they were pure devotees at that time because they were having ananyata bhajan. They were taking pure shelter of that. So we should take shelter of this festival and the mood of this festival. Let me read you another letter that Prabhupada wrote to Babru Prabhu on the 9th of December, 1973, which he gives some three words that I like very much, kind of a sutra to help us understand how to work together. He says, now we have, by Krishna's grace, built up something significant in the shape of this ISKCON, and we are all one family. Sometimes there may be disagreement and quarrel, but we should not go away. These inebrieties can be adjusted by three things, a cooperative spirit, tolerance, and maturity. So I request you to kindly remain in the association of our devotees and work together. The test of our actual dedication and sincerity to serve the spiritual master will be in this mutual cooperative spirit to push on this movement and not make factions and deviate. So we just had such a wonderful, ecstatic festival for Srila Prabhupada. I heard so many comments from the devotees yesterday about how deeply it touched their heart. One person commented to me that every single reading was like 5 stars. It was just so wonderful and so perfect, the whole festival. So we should carry that with us, and we should show that our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada in a practical way, not just by offering fruits and flowers, as we were speaking yesterday, but by showing these three principles that Srila Prabhupada describes here. All these things can be adjusted by the cooperative spirit, tolerance, and maturity. Tolerance, cooperation, and maturity. We have to tolerate each other. That's the nature of a relationship. The children tolerate the parents. The parents also tolerate the children. And the husband tolerates the wife. The wife tolerates the husband. That's what love is all about. And we have to tolerate each other. And therefore we can cooperate together, but it requires some maturity, some forgiveness that we're not always perfect, that even our parents can make mistakes sometimes. The husband or the wife, our friends can make mistakes. And out of love, our symptom of love is that we forgive each other. We overlook that and we see the quality of sincerity and love in that devotee's heart. That's a Vrindavan festival. Vrindavan festival means that we serve the devotees. One of the most special devotees in my life was a sadhu in Vrindavan whose name was Gopal Ghosh. He was the librarian for the Vrindavan Research Institute. And somehow he liked me very much, and we used to go and visit him. He would become very happy and give me a big embrace. And he was like a walking encyclopedia. He knew so much. And he was a Brijbasi. I went to see him a few days before he left this world. He was laying on his deathbed, and he was crying. And he told me, I was born in Vrindavan, and I'm praying to Radharani that I can also leave Vrindavan. And such a wonderful, deep devotee. He was a friend of Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada took sannyas, he went to do Madhukari, to beg some alms. And the first house that he went to was the house of Gopal Ghosh. And Gopal Ghosh, he told a story once about Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada was still, he was a vanaprastha at that time, he was wearing white. He was staying at the Radhadamodara temple, and Gopal Ghosh is describing, it was during the month of Kartik, and Nrisimha Vallabha Goswami, one local Goswami, was speaking Bhagavatam every day in the Radhadamodara temple. And Srila Prabhupada would go there every day, and he would bring a fresh flower garland, and he would offer it to the deity Brinda Devi. And then Prabhupada would offer it to the Bhagavatam, and he would offer it to Nrisimha Vallabha Goswami. And then Srila Prabhupada, he also every day on his own initiative, he would make some sandalwood paste. And he would take sandalwood paste and he would go around and offer sandalwood paste to all the Vaishnavas who were present there. I found that story very, very endearing. How Srila Prabhupada was personally serving all the Vaishnavas. That's our festival. That's the tradition in Gaudiya Vaishnavism amongst the festivals, that we serve all the Vaishnavas, because the festival really is about appreciation of the Vaishnavas. I'd like to read something to you from a translation from a book called Bhaktamala. There's a number of different Bhaktamalas, many of which are not appreciated by our acharyas because sometimes there's some Mayavad influence in there. Bhaktamala means a mala or of the devotees. There are stories about different devotees. Now, there's one Bhaktamala which is written by Priyadas, in 1766, and that book was very much appreciated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. We don't know much about the author, but it seems that by his writings that he was probably a Gaudiya Vaishnav, because he speaks about Mahaprabhu and Nityananda and others. And anyway, he spoke something in there which I wanted to share with you, a very nice meditation we can take with us away from this festival. He said, when the creeper of devotional service in the heart of a practitioner is immature, then there's every danger of it being harmed. Therefore, a devotee should construct a fence to protect it. And what's the fence to protect that creeper of devotion? It's the fence of discrimination. We have to discriminate who we associate with, how we behave, what we watch, what we read, what we do. That fence of discrimination protects the creeper of devotion in our heart. And then he says, and we water it with association of devotees. In this way, the tree will continue to develop its branches and sub-branches, reaching toward the coverings of the universe. When the living entities, afflicted by the threefold material miseries, come under the shade of this devotional tree in the form of hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, which is placed in the hearts of saintly persons, then they'll become free from all material pangs. Let me just repeat that and paraphrase it. The living entities, they're suffering from the threefold material miseries. When they come under the shade of this devotional tree, the shade of bhakti, this bhakti kripa, this tree, gives us some shade of those material miseries. And that shade is in the form of hearing and chanting in the association of the devotees in festivals like this. Then we become free from material pangs. If properly nourished and cared for, the tree, which was once afraid of a goat. Trees are afraid of goats. You don't know. You don't live in India. We have a garden, and there's terrorists who come regularly to attack our garden in the form of goats. They make me so... In 5 minutes, they can destroy everything in your garden. So the plants are sometimes afraid of the goats, but those plants, he says, won't be harmed even by giant elephants. And what is that giant elephant that we're afraid of? The elephant of Vaishnava Parad. So we should learn to appreciate the Vaishnavas. By the blessings of the Vaishnavas, we came here. By the blessings of the Vaishnavas, we had some inspiration to serve Shri Radha Madan Mohan and do kirtan together. And the benediction that we get from this festival is that we have some association with the devotees and we can serve them in a deeper way. Therefore, in his Prepanamrita, his most important instructions, Srila Ramanujacharya has described Vaishnavanam anustane nopayamatim unayet upamayeva satatam unayet sumahamanaya. He said, don't make a mistake and think that Vaishnav seva is something which is going to help you in your spiritual life. That's a mistake. Don't think that Vaishnav Seva is the means. Rather, you should understand that Vaishnav Seva is the goal. It's not just something we're going to accomplish something else with, but it's the goal of our everything. I'd like to tell you a short story in that regard. There was once a very elevated devotee who was living in Rajasthan 300-400 years ago. Whose name was Trilochan. And he was born in a Vaishya family. He's a Maurari, which is kind of like the Jews in Europe. They're very expert in money and business and things. But although he was in a Vaishya family, Trilochan, he just wanted to serve Krishna. And in particular, he had this desire, I want to serve the Vaishnavas. That was the heart of Trilochan. But he had some unhappiness because he wasn't able to fully serve the Vaishnavas to his heart's content. Because it was only himself and his wife. And Trilochan was thinking to himself, if I just had a servant or someone who could help me, then I could serve the Vaishnavas like anything. And that would give me so much pleasure. Krishna understood the desire of Trilochan. And to fulfill that desire, he took the form of a very poor mendicant person who showed up at Tri Lochan's door. And that same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's Lakshmi Sahasrasata Sambrahma Sevyamanam, who's worshipped by so many goddesses of fortune, he showed up with just a blanket on his body, no other clothes, and some old broken shoes. And when Tri Lochan saw him, he's a strange-looking beggar, but he's very effulgent, looks very pleasing. He said, where have you come from? Who are you? It seems that you don't have any parents at home. And that sadhu smiled. He said, it's true. I don't really have any father and mother. And Tri Lochan said, it seems you don't have much. Would you like to work for me? I need someone to help serve the sadhus. And that sadhu smiled. And he said, I like to do Vaishnav Seva. I can do that. And he said, he asked him, what's your name? And Krishna told him, he said, my name is Antaryami, the super soul. And he said, but I'd be happy to serve you, to serve the Vaishnavas. He said, I know a little something about serving the Vaishnavas, and I like it very much. He said, but I have a problem. I have a very difficult time getting employment. And Tri Lochan said, why? He said, because you see, I eat a lot. Like 8 or 10 kilos of rice every day. There's so many sabjis and things. He said, but if you can feed me, then I'll very happily serve the Vaishnavas unto you. And Tri Lochan said, no problem. If you can serve the Vaishnavas, we'll give you 100 kgs of rice every day. You can eat as much as you want. And Antaryami, Krishna, told him, he said, okay. He said, but I have one condition. That sometimes people, they criticize me because I eat too much. If someone criticizes me, then I'm leaving. I won't stay. And Tri Lochan said, no problem. And he became very, very happy. Antaryami was serving the devotees so nice. And so every day, so many Vaishnavas were coming to his house. And Antaryami would take their shoes and put them in a nice place. And he would wash the Vaishnavas' feet. And he would wash their cloth and iron their clothes and help cook for them and serve them prasadam and do so many things. And the heart of Tri Lochan was in ecstasy. He was so happy. Finally, he was able to serve the Vaishnavas in such a nice way. And he has such a good servant to help him, this Antaryami. And everything was going very well. Until one day, when Tri Lochan, his wife, was visiting one of her friends, and her friend was looking at her and she said, you know, you look really tired. Is there a problem? And Tri Lochan's wife, she said, well, it's the servant that we have. He eats so much. I'm just cooking all day long for him. I mean, he's eating like 6 or 8 kgs of rice every day. My God, more than any ISKCON brahmachari eats even. It's astonishing. And Tri Lochan, he promised Antaryami, Krishna, that he wouldn't criticize. And Antaryami, he was really the Antaryami, and he knew, he heard those words of the lady, which weren't spoken out of malice, but just confiding in her friend. But he left. And when Tri Lochan found that he'd lost this servant, he became very, very disturbed. And he didn't eat or drink anything for 3 days. Because now I can't serve the Vaishnavas. And after the third day, there was an Akashvani, a voice from the sky. And it was Antaryami who was speaking to him. And he said that, you should eat something. You're my dear devotee. Because you like to serve the Vaishnavas so much, and because I'm greedy to serve the Vaishnavas, I came as your servant. Now, if you want, I'll come back again, and I can continue to serve the God. And when Tri Lochan realized who Antaryami really was, and he began to really bash his head, what did I do? Krishna personally came, was staying in my house, and I accepted service from him. And Krishna assured him, no. Sakashvani, no. I'm very, very happy. And he said, I'm very, very pleased with you because you like to serve the Vaishnavas. So this is the final instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the end of the most joyous festival of Mahaprabhu living in Navadvip and growing up there with all the residents in Navadvip. He told them, Nimatsara Antara, Hoibe Sarvajan, don't have any envy in your heart. And Sabha Sabhakara Mana Koro Aradhana, with all your hearts, you should worship and serve each other. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, and I think this is the best benediction that we can get at the end of this festival. So I want to thank everybody here very much for being so kind to walk with me on the pathway of our kathas for the last few days. And I beg apology if I've committed any offenses to the Vaishnavas, and especially to Sachinanda Maharaj or any of the devotees here. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktabinda ki, Shishi Radha Madan Mohanju ki, Vancha Kalpadarubhischa, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Anandakori Vaishnavinda ki. I'm sorry, I went too late.
So, Hare Krishna. I thank you all very much for coming in such nice numbers again. You were a wonderful group of devotees with whom we celebrated a wonderful festival. Madhavananda has given us one very nice point to take with us from the festival. He has spoken about service to the Vaishnavas as being very important. Maybe we remember the Lord is in the heart of everyone, but who's in the heart of that Lord? The devotees, no? That was a nice point. I would also like to give you some thing to take along, but because you have sat so long, I suggest we do something to change the energy just very quickly. Please turn to your neighbor, anyone, it could be someone you've never seen or before talked, and please quickly share with the neighbor this question: What did you like at the festival? No? What was the particular point you liked? The Matajis are already ready to go, talking. No problem, no problem, Maharaj. We can talk always. And please, also the men, please do it. Don't think this is only for Matajis. No, I can share with you my tip. You have something to look at. I had a terrible experience at the festival at one point. You know, I have been traveling for 3 months. It was really intense. I'm happy that Gokrishna is still alive. It is really, we had a lot on the plate. And so there was a time in the festival, I remember I looked out of my window. They were getting ready for the Swan Boat Festival, and I said, oh my God, always the same, Ichamashtami. This is something which girls do. They take their dolls somewhere, and I am confessing to you, and honestly, this is, it's not for me. Oh, look at all these people. They're trying to be something which they are not. Look how they're dressed. They never dressed like this, only once a year. some of them. Oh, and yes, then I will hear lectures. I've heard, I know what they will talk. Same messages year after year, as if I have no brain to understand anything. No, I really don't know. And now I soon have to go out and say, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Give a very kirtan. What do they like? What type of kirtans? Well, it has to be wild at the end. Okay, I will crank up myself again. And as I was going down the spiral of negative thoughts, I noticed, hey, Sachinanda Swami, stop for a moment. You like kirtan, no? You like the holy name, no? You like to hear things again from a different perspective. What has happened to you? And I could see what happened to me was I had come under the influence of Maya. I was under the clouds. I was, you know, there is a Prabhupada gave once gave a very nice a point. He said, in Krishna consciousness, we are above the clouds. And what he had in mind was the experience of when you fly, you may be, when you are under the clouds in rain and it's a little gloomy and uninspiring, but if you pierce through the layers of the cloud, wow, it's a whole different scenario. You see the wide open sky, unlimited. You see the sun, it's a nice blue. And you feel like, wow, this is a whole different scenario. And I remember we had a preaching tour through Macedonia. And when we started with the airplane in Skopje, you know, we had this problem in Skopje. There is a lot of exhaustion fume. It's the air is so bad because it cannot move anywhere in the cold winter. So it's like you almost go out and you become smeary with exhaustion, with this benzene, you know, what comes out of the cars. And then our plane took off. It was all dirty because the air is so dirty. It made the plane dirty. And then it was going higher and higher. Then this big, big carpet of clouds was there, gray clouds. It went through and became lighter, lighter, lighter. And then, whoop, we were above the clouds. And it looked really nice. The clouds from above looked white. There was a fresh breeze. I assumed there was a fresh breeze. I didn't feel it. I was in the airplane, but the sun was there. Yes. And I thought, when I was in Golokadam, what will I do now to get above the clouds? And for me, what always works is I open the Bhagavatam. I opened it at a very interesting part where Kadama Muni, he talks to the Lord in prayer. And it was very interesting and for me to see his thoughts and the Lord's response. And I thought, wow, I hope we have not started with the Swan Boat Festival. They will take Chota Radha Madanmohan actually on a boat like the devotees do in Vrindavan. And then I thought, well, they do this in the temple, yes, but there is something much more behind it. Actually, the Krishna in the spiritual world likes to go on a boat with the gopis. Then I saw the theater play Yes, and I saw the devotees acting. They have a lot of gestures always. And I thought, wonderful, this is the best acting I've ever seen. My God, it's so expressive. It's so relevant. And then I saw the deities coming on the swan boat. And I thought, what, this is God riding on a swan boat. And I remember when we had ended our part of this swan boat festival and we went to the swing festival, I was totally enthusiastic. I thought, well, this is another pastime. It's in the middle part of the day, then when Radha and Krishna walk through the different forests of Vrindavan, and when they come to the spring forest, there is a jhulan and a swing, and then they swing like this, and then Madhavananda was explaining the same thing from the Bhavanasa Sara Sangraha, a book that I'm familiar with, and I was, wow, this is all orchestrated by Krishna, and my thought and the talk match. Wonderful, I'm very enlivened. Then there was a kirtan of Amala Harinam. I thought, this is the best kirtan I've ever heard so far. I was a total different personality. And then I remembered an article I had read by the anti-sect group. They were very strong in Germany. And they said, yeah, this is what happens in new religious movements. The participants are in a roller coaster of emotions. Sometimes they feel very low, but then somehow, by some imagination, they feel very high. And then they again go very low. And I thought, oh, I can understand why someone who has not been at the swing festival and the boat festival thinks like this. But they are wrong. It's not a question of psychology which happens here. An unstable psychology where someone changes from one to the other. It is the mercy of Krishna. And I have just felt how by the mercy of Krishna, a conditioned soul who is in Maya can raise to the level of a different type of consciousness, a more wider consciousness, a more broader consciousness, a more healthy consciousness, a more beneficial consciousness for his well-being, a more, dare I say it, real perspective than the illusory perspective, which was coming about only by a weak mind. As we know now, weak thoughts send weak chemicals in the body, so that someone who has weak thoughts, he feels very exhausted and so on. When if I go to a festival and think, oh, how strenuous it is, then the festival will be intense for me and I will feel if I have a strong thought that now I'm meeting Krishna, I will be enthusiastic all the time. You always have to choose, will I be under the clouds or will I be above the clouds? This matter of choice is given to each individual. And if you choose, I don't want to be under the clouds, I don't want to be with my weak thoughts, which send such weak signals into my life, then your life will be wonderful. I don't think many of us have already understood this enough. Because if we would have understood this, our life would no longer be so conflicted at times. Piece of, you know, what I want to give with you to go move on is find out how you can address this point. This point of, in our tradition, it's sometimes called anishta, unsteady, you know. Find out how what you can do to become more steady in your bhakti. And if you find this out, then you will be very successful. Also, my other point is don't take the mind so serious. There is someone who made this change of perspective, which is really amazing. We have heard today one about Trilochan and his servant Antayami. In the same book, there is an amazing story of Kamati Bai. She was, this is so amazing that some of, I mean, when I heard it yesterday from His Holiness Indradyumna Maharaj, I really thought, wow, I must tell this to the devotees as an illustration of changing the perspective. Kamati was born in the royal court of a certain clan of Kshatriyas. It was said about these warriors, they were so strong that they drank the milk of a lioness and they would die fighting when their head was cut off. They would fight, in other words, up to the end, until the opponent cut their head off. Strong warrior lady. She was a little girl. She was the daughter of a priest, but the king took care of her as if she was her own daughter, and she worshipped Krishna when she was this small. So when she became big, not very big, just a girl in puberty, her father, together with the king, who thought this girl to be like a daughter, made arrangements for her marriage. So on the night before her marriage, she could not sleep. She always thought of Krishna and thought, I have given my heart to Krishna. I cannot marry a mortal human being. And when it was around 2 o'clock in the night, where everyone was fast asleep, Kamati Bai left the palace and went on her way to Vrindavan. So next day, the king felt, oh my God, where is Kamati Bai? She's sleeping so late. It's her day of marriage. We have arranged all ornaments. Palace looks really nice, and there's gold. I've given gold ornaments to her, and the maidservants came to his wife and had said, Kamati Bai is missing. So they searched the whole palace and could not find the marriage partner, the bride. So the king said, something is going awfully wrong here. Maybe she's kidnapped by a neighboring king and his men, by some ninjas who went into the palace. There are no ninjas in Rajasthan. So he sent a huge army out to look for Kamati Bai. And Kamati Bai could see the army was coming after her. Where do I go? Where do I go? I don't want to marry a normal human being. I want to be with Krishna only. So she looked around and she found, it was early in the morning, that was a little foggy. She found something lying by the path of the road. So she ran, and it was a dead camel. And she took her knife and slit open the belly of the dead camel. I told you it's a shocking story. She took out the, let us use a good English word here. She disemboweled the camel. I don't want that you are, bowel is here, you know, bowel movement. You know, everyone knows this in India. So she disemboweled the camel. She went into it and she closed the wound and stayed. So the army came looking, where is Kamabai? Where is the person who kidnapped him? Krishna was the person. They ran by the camel and they passed on, and after some time they were gone. Then Kamatibai looked out and came out all dirty and stinking. She looked for a place to wash herself, and there was a, she needed to walk a little to a river, then came out clean. And then one sadhu came to her and said, I have watched you. Who are you? Nobody, said Kamabai. Kamatibai, I'm actually nobody. No, don't worry, said the sadhu. I won't tell on you to the king. I just want to know what is going on in you. Anyone would die smelling the entrails of a dead camel. It smells so bad. Already camel stool? I don't know if you know. You can faint. But if the inside is heavy. So she said, you know, O Sadhu Maharaj, the smell or the stench of material life is so much more horrible than the stink of what is going on in the entrails of a camel. I do not want material life. She was little, she was small, just puberty. One, two girls have puberty. And young. So she then went to Vrindavan, and she became one of the greatest devotees. She stayed in Brahmakund. Eventually her father found out and came to her and said, I'm totally embarrassed. We had arranged the marriage, and the day of the marriage, you disappeared. And only now I found out where you are. What can you tell your father? Please return. You can worship your deity in your home. If you don't want to marry, we don't marry you. We can't force you anywhere. You are from this clan, you know, of the Kshatriyas. When you have something in your mind, nothing goes, can force you another way. But, and she said, I'm now in Vrindavan, Father. I'm in the kingdom of God. I can only do one thing. Wait for me and come back the next day. So the father came back, and Kamatibai gave him a deity from the mud of Yamunaji. Now, worship this deity and you will always be with me in Vrindavan. Wow, said the father. My daughter is different. And he took the deity and became a great devotee. He would not leave his room. He was falling in love with the deity. And the king said, well, hey, what is with my main priest? He doesn't leave the room. So the king went to him and he saw his main priest. My daughter is a pure devotee. She gave me this deity. And I feel the whole material world is illusion. I don't want to counsel you as your priest and counselor any longer. So the king thought, this is an amazing daughter, and he also went to Vrindavan. And when he went and met Kamatibai, by now she was older, in Brahmakund, he was changed so much that he built a huge temple for Kamati Bai. It came about like this. He said, "What, can I do anything? I'm a worldly man. Can I do some service to you? You are such a great devotee." And Kamati Bai said, "Not for me, but for Krishna you can do a service. Build a nice temple here. You have money." And the king, okay. Build a huge temple, which is unfortunately only there in ruins. But we can visit these ruins, we are told by Maharaji, our Indradumna Maharaj. We can go in the Ranganath temple, and there are ruins of this temple. What do you think when you hear such a story? Nothing? Gaurahari thinks, when will this happen to me? Others? Thoughts? I can understand her decision. Now I'm experienced. Yes. Any other thoughts? Very determined. Yes, that is clear. You got a blessing, yeah. After renunciation, you get everything.
She inspired.
Sorry?
She inspired her own father.
She inspired her own father. You have also a father. He is the king of book distributors in Brazil, I hear. Yes. Yes. There are other thoughts. I recognize this. When I heard the story yesterday after I immediately got the book Bhaktamala. I have where I stay, Gaurahari's apartment. There are all the books available, and I read it. The story from Bhaktamala, and I was really thinking more or less on the line of Gaurahari, that I like these stories very much, but this is really a lot of determination. I mean, if I can't imagine now to run away from Gaura Bhavan, a beautiful lake ashram which we have, and run to Vrindavan like that. But I will run in October, and I will stay for two. So I thought, it is very inspiring, but I thought, how do I get there? How can I change my perspective so that I take Krishna consciousness more real? And I understood, I have to deal with this subject under the cloud and above the cloud. As long as I'm sometimes so heavy under the cloud, like I was in Jamashtami. By the way, I'm exaggerating a little. It's not so bad, but it is bad enough that it's a point, you know. So, what to do, and I will give you three things that you can exercise with. Three things that have changed my life. Three points from the Bhagavatam, which are, by the way, repeated thrice in the Bhagavatam. We know when the sacred scriptures repeat a point, they mean it. It seems to be important, no? It is found on three places. I know there are some of you who like It's found in the prayers of Parikshit Maharaj, his final words. Your body is also there, apparently. It is found in the prayers of Shruta Deva, who was a florist, a garland maker in Mathura, who was visited by Krishna. And even Markandeya Rishi, in the 12th canto, repeats two of these points as prayers to Krishna. These three points, my dear devotees, will lift your perspective immediately. It will act like a strong lift that brings you from under the clouds above the clouds. Would you like to know them?
Yes.
Good. This was a yes. Oh my God. I will at the end give you the references, but now I will give you the points. Shrutadev prays amazingly the same thing that Parikshit wants. If I have to be born again in this world, I want to have unshakable devotion to Lord Krishna. Unshakable. He doesn't want to be on this roller coaster of sometimes above the clouds and then again under the clouds. Unshakable. Then the second thing, Madhavananda very nicely talked on this. I'm very grateful for this lecture. Friendships with the with his devotees. In the Bhagavatam, it is said the devotees, two analogies are given for devotee Sangha. One, it's a strong boat that takes you over the ocean. You don't have to sink, in other words, in samsara, like many conditioned souls who fall and rise and in the waves of samsara. The devotees give you some safety. Therefore, we always know when devotees die, they want to have devotees around them as much as possible and do kirtan because they know, then I'm safe, even in this moment. No, I don't fall under the material energy. So, because it's a strong boat, and the Bhagavatam says it's also a transcendental eye. When you are with devotees and you see through the perspective of devotees, like Kamabati, then you think, oh my God, let me see like she sees things. It's really not a material eye, it's a spiritual eye. And the last is transcendental compassion to all living beings. So, three things. What was the first?
Unshakable
devotion to whom?
Krishna.
Krishna, wonderful. Then?
Friendship,
yes. Not difficult relationships. Therefore, my dear devotees, it is said, if you have a good relationship to Krishna, Krishna likes to have a good relationship with you. He is like this. He follows his devotees. And if a devotee, if you have good devotees, if you have a good thought about devotees in your heart, Krishna comes in your heart. But if you have envious thoughts on devotees, the opposite happens. Krishna leaves you. Have you seen that? No. Yes. Middle. And the last is transcendental compassion to all. I want to say something on this, which is my experience. I'm not talking abstract philosophy today. I'm talking of experience. My dear devotees, do something for the welfare of others. Don't remain self-centered. Do something. Don't hide Krishna like you would hide a crazy brother in the cellar. You know, people come to your house and there is you have a crazy brother and you, okay, it's time for you, and you bring him in the cellar, lock the door, you know, that he doesn't come out and ruin the party upstairs. Don't hide Krishna. Bring him out. Do not be afraid that people will misjudge you when you preach Krishna consciousness or give prasadam or give them literature. The moment you are coming out of this being stunted and do something for the welfare of others, something is wonderful. I remember yesterday, Gokrishna and myself, we needed to catch up on our rounds, so we went for a walk in the forest, and I never forget this. A black cat came to us. Narayani, she came from where you are. Do you know this black cat? We have two. So maybe you recognize the cat. So I don't know if it was a he or she. I called the cat Catchy. And we were walking, and the cat first checked us out if we were all right. And I said to the cat, "Welcome, welcome. Here we are. Come along. It's a japa walk." And the cat came along. Go, Krishna. All the way, we walked almost up to Forellenhof. You know, that's 3 kilometers. The cat was always there. And when she went at one time, you know, she stood there frozen with her tail up. And I said, "I'm so disappointed with you now. We are vegetarians and you want to eat a mice. I'm so disappointed. Just control your mind a little." And then she stopped doing her cat thing, her predator thing, you know. And she, "Tiki, tiki," she seemed to say, "Okay, I understand." And she followed along. She did not catch one mouse. She was, in other words, there for sangha, not for mouse catching. We were very pleased. We thought, when she got lost, I made, and immediately she came. I've never seen this. It was an instant communication. Then we went to the little Radhakund, the old devotees call it Radhakund. This is a little, you know, pond where there is this nice bench. And the cat was all the time with us. It was already getting late, but the cat was there and waited for us to stop to finish our Gayatri, and then it went back only when it came towards amazing cat. Narayani, the name?
I don't know which one it was.
Oh.
One of them is Kripa.
Let us call him Kripa. Is it a male or a lady? Lady, so Kripaji. This is Kripa was with us. Yes, she did not give up. She followed, and when the time came for her, the test to go under the cloud and become a mouse hunter, decided, "No, I'm going with this japa group," and so on. It is something which I think is very, very important. Catch yourself when you come under the clouds. Each time, you just say, "There's another way to go. I don't want to go down this spiral. I want to go above the clouds." And then you need to know what works for you. And I always think what always works is the decision to be compassionate to other people. Giriraj Maharaj wrote a wonderful Vyasa Puja offering. You find it in this book. It's also online. And he said, "One of my favorite statements of you, Prabhupada, is, if you want to approach Radha and Krishna, you need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Now, to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Wow, gets complicated. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach people like Jagai and Madai. If we ever feel, Giriraj Maharaj writes, oh, I'm too high, I'm too holy, I can't approach these people, we should think of that instruction and your example, Prabhupada. Prabhupada approached the fallen souls and really pray and beg to be humble instruments of your love and mercy and compassion. As your Guru Maharaj told you, that will be good for you and good for the people who hear you. So, my dear devotees, three things. See how you can develop your attachment to Krishna to make it steady. You are not, many of you are older devotees. You should not experience the roller coaster of emotions. Develop friendships with the devotees. Yes, I know some devotees are easier to make friendship with. Then go with them and just keep a respectful, kind, a respectful relationship with the other devotees so that no accidents happen in your mind. And finally, have transcendental compassion to all living beings. So do something. Even if it's cats or anything, go to the people who are around you and try to see how you can help them. Yes, not all of us are outgoing and we are a little introvert maybe and we cannot give a lecture and so on. But then we can, I don't know what an introvert will do. He has good wishes for others. If you're really introverted, good wishes, or try to do something good for others. No? And in this way. And the last thing, please come back for the next festival. We have the next festival is when? Sangamela. That for some is... But Radhastami is coming. Yes, it is also there. Latest Sangamela. Sangamela is it's in the midst of the winter. Everything is cozy. And everything is more... It's more Sangamela. Those of you who have not yet been there, it has a different flavor somehow, isn't it? It is somewhat different. Oh, this is, of course... it's also really wonderful, but that is also different flavor. Hare Krishna. So I will look now secretly on the wristwatch. Oh, little over time. I will not be able to take questions. Let us end here and quickly hear Gaurahari's words. It was a genuine honor to be with you, a genuine pleasure. Please come back. And oh yeah, if those who take notes, the three wishes, Parikshit Maharaj talks about them in 1.19.16. I repeat, first canto, 19th chapter, 16th verse. Or for those who are super slow, 1.19.16. The second time they appear is in Shrutadev's case in 10.41.51 or 10th canto, 41st chapter, verse 51. Or for those who are... it's not Shrutadev. I learned it's Sudama. Sudama the florist. I made a mistake. Sudama the florist. Yes. It's in 10.41.51. No? And Markandeya's also come, but he is dropping compassion, transcendent compassion for all living beings. He doesn't ask for this because he is a Muni. He stays always in his cave. He is not like us. So I have not written down the reference because he's different. Different life situation. Good. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.